When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Here we go. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. Already two down. We're taking it all the way till 7 o'clock. Cowboys hour is coming up at 7 with Brad Sham and a special guest to be named here shortly. Brian, your eyebrows are coming in nicely there.
They are coming in. I think there's some gray involved in my eyebrows now.
Nothing but gray.
Nothing but gray?
Yeah, but gray. Yeah, B-U-T-T gray.
All right. I see what you're doing over there.
It's a nice view. It really does look good. Mm-hmm. The Dawson's too. Both of them are coming in strong, man.
Thank you.
Really are.
There you go.
Yeah. I wish it wasn't. I wish your body was betraying you because you guys are putting off your bet payoffs. You know.
I told you maybe I'll just reshave them. There might be a show where if I get to five, I just do every hour have to do a bet payoff.
Because that'll be a new PR for a losing streak for you personally and for just anybody in the
it'll be a great event.
The program's
history. It'd be a great way to wipe them out.
Yes, it would.
That'd be highly entertaining. Do you want some good news real quick?
Sure.
This is Maverick related. So a team that...
Lively's back.
Still has some opportunities.
Lively. We're hopeful.
We're hopeful here. Tim McMahon said Lively, who we know has missed the last four games, had a good practice today in San Francisco. He's hoping to play against the Warriors.
There we go.
So trending optimistically for Derek Lively.
Okay. That's good. So it was a good practice. Not necessarily like he practiced hard, but he practiced good. Sometimes you can practice hard, but you don't practice good. Sounds like he actually practiced good.
Well, that's a Cowboy thing. I think Lively's always practicing good. That guy doesn't take days off.
Everybody's going to have to be doing good if you're going to want to get that win. Time now for Eric Chiafalo's Sports Hodgepodge, Chief.
Man, I really hope. Am I getting ball sacked by NJ.com? Because NJ.com? Yeah,
that's a non-ball sacking entity.
That's what I'm thinking here.
Yeah,
and they are saying that in the first quarter during yesterday's game, the Cowboys were recognizing Tom Landry for his military service, and they threw up a video montage on the Jumbotron, but his name appeared as Tom Laundry.
No, this wasn't a ball sacking. This really didn't happen.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true.
They threw an extra letter into the legendary name of Landry while trying to honor him. Like, they literally couldn't even get that right yesterday in the building.
Could be some sparky young intern. Could be autocorrect. I hope it's autocorrect. That ain't right.
Do you want to, like, just check it real quick before?
Well, yeah, or you can't work for the Cowboys if you don't know how to spell Landry. One of the two. What do you think, Brian?
I think it's tough, man. You walk by that big old statue going into that stadium. You ought to know who that is. You ought to get that name right. It's tough, man. Can't make mistakes like that.
Probably should have a Cowboys history quiz.
Not when it's a deal when he's like, you know, his legendary coach, but also, you know, a veteran.
This man played in the time of leather helmets with no face masks. Show a little respect for this football legend.
It was a missed false start call away from being the Tom Landry Trophy.
You're right, dude. And there's no way they would have misspelled it if it was on the
Landry Trophy.
If it was the Landry. So did you guys notice this? Was there an audible sigh?
We were on the halftime show.
We were on the halftime show.
So we didn't get a chance to see it.
Okay.
But good I did thing. See it.
You did confirm it.
Yeah.
Rock bottom.
Okay. So just add it to the list of football follies from yesterday's game. I was thinking about putting that music under every one of the two guys one booth clips, or at least over the one where Nance is calling it a football folly, which was just a hilarious call. We did have some other funny stuff over the weekend, kind of a full circle moment here. Pretty exciting stuff for Tom Brenneman. he's now calling some college football games.
ACC?
Oh, that's right,
some
Tom.
Some ACC.
He's back.
Yeah, Tom with an inexplicable H there after the T. He's back. He's calling college football games, and there was a familiar name in the quarterback battle.
Couple of good quarterbacks in this one. You know about Kyle McCord. We'll also see Thomas Castellanos. How about that? By Sky Rizzi, key to the game.
Wow.
Okay, so he's making light of this. And if you're unfamiliar with the situation, we take you back to probably now 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, when Tom Brenneman had an unfortunate hot mic slip up there using a derogatory slur and then had this apology.
I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. Mm-hmm. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I'm going to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck, for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight. I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. That is not who I am, and never has been. And I'd like to think maybe I could have some people that that could back that up. I am very, very sorry, and I beg for your forgiveness.
Well, he got the forgiveness granted to him by, I believe, the CW network.
It did.
And now he's calling college football games. Boston College and Syracuse, I believe, was that heavyweight bout there.
Tilt. He's been canceled up till now.
He had been.
Yeah, he just got back.
Yeah, he was doing some foreign baseball, I think, is what kind of he was had been up to, I guess, for the last couple of years. But this is the first season that he's back. And on a TV near you. So he made the joke. I was surprised he did it, but he had to have been cooking that one up all week when he saw who the starting quarterback was for that particular game. Still one of the most amazing moments in broadcast history in the midst of the apology to pivot. Just the baseball reaction as a broadcaster to still describe what's taking place on the field here as your career is just fleeting away from you in real time.
Mm. I thought for sure he'd pick up as like a Chick-fil-A spokesman. Yeah, I thought there was a good fit in there.
How's that make you feel, old Chuck? Shots fired at your chicken.
It's a former employer.
I actually did have the honey pimento.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Rocking, dude.
It's very good.
Have you ever had pimento cheese before?
I have had it before. Yes, I can't tell you. I don't remember where I had it, but I have had it before. But this was the honey pimento cheese sandwich at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
really good. And then you get the spicy one. Yeah. And even the regular one's got a little kick to it.
You did that over the weekend.
Level up. No, I did it. It was actually last weekend when I had the other
on that rampage.
Yeah, that was That was a part of last weekend's like 8-pound. Increase.
I feel like your portion of the weight loss competition is only happening while we're on air.
See,
once you step foot outside these halls.
Well, even then, sometimes people deliver pizza and I'm stacking it up triple decker.
You know what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Chiafalo is like, he continues to load up, you know, as we struggle along.
Yeah.
And he's going to end up losing the most weight.
Yeah. He'll flip the switch with 72
it's gonna be
hours
like,
to go.
It's going to be
it'll
like,
be a Hail Mary, dude.
It's going to be like, well, I've fasted the last 84 hours and
haven't eaten in a week.
Yeah, I don't feel very, I feel good right now, but, you know.
Sucks to be you guys.
Just a little lightheaded.
Yeah.
Do we have a little update? Does anybody know? I'm only down like maybe a pound. Maybe a pound.
I weighed in this morning. I was down four.
Four.
Oh, well,
I've not weighed in yet.
All right, but you've been dialed.
Yeah, pretty dialed. Yeah.
But see, like that's what's gonna be the problem. We're all doing our best and you're just over there like mockery of us all, and you're gonna end up losing the most weight.
We'll see how it goes, man. We'll see how it goes. I could drop 10. I could use 10 for sure.
My breakdown
but
week
also
moments
eat 10 pounds of food while I'm at it. Yeah.
Have been like a granola bar and string cheese. You know?
That's been your
that's
cheat.
That's cheating to me.
All right.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much I'm craving rice right now. Just rice.
I had a little bit of that with some butter chicken, actually, Friday night. Had to carbo load for the paint job of the weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, how'd that go? Was it successful?
It was good. It was good. We missed some spots, you know, but overall, heck yeah. I think painting your own house is a huge money saver.
Did you stand in the hallway with your hands on your hips and look at the room like,
damn it,
look what I did?
Dude, I go out there every 10 minutes and do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just try not to look at the touch-up spots that you
spots
need.
Just add characters.
Yeah. Abby's over there like, Dad.
Some of those lines are a little circuitous.
How high did you have to get up? Because that's what always kills me. I can't do it. I can't bring myself. I can't stand. I will not stand on that top rung of
you get these little step ladders, and then you get the long pole thing.
Yeah.
You know, those step ladders, they got like a little rail for you. So you can kind of one-hand it and...
So, Chief, you're like me. If you get on a ladder and look up, you're likely going to fall.
Oh, my gosh. That's me. I feel like I am.
I can't look up.
Yes, I don't trust myself.
If I'm on a ladder and I look up, I'm doomed.
I don't have the athleticism for it.
I get dizzy and fall off.
Yeah, I don't have the
composure. If I'm low enough that I could drop down onto my feet, I feel fine. As soon as I'm like high enough up that I do not feel confident that I can land it,
yeah,
it's like I lose all sense of, you know, feeling yes, about my balance.
I putted midway. We have a half a painted wall because I just, I'm sorry, I can't. I feel like I'm about to tumble over here. This is not good. Okay, speaking of not good, I mean, there were some good plays. There were some ridiculous plays. We'll get to the Saquon. That Saquon play yesterday.
Dude.
And what happened to Eric Kendricks and Overtrone's flying around kamikaze style on his own players, but at least he's trying.
He blew up Kendricks.
I know.
Oh, boy. God, did he blow
I don't know what Kendricks was doing
like
there.
He just stayed in the same spot and was waiting for Barkley to come to him. I've never really quite seen that. Like, attack the football.
It's a very vulnerable position to find yourself in with about 10 yards of space in the open field in front of Barkley or Bijan or, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs or something. I don't think that Kendricks took the best route on that play of the possibilities of things that he could have chosen to do there execution-wise. He chose a poor one, but that was going to be a no-man's-land nightmare situation for just about anybody. But just the way that it goes from, could this be at most a one-yard gain to, oh my gosh, I'm surprised it wasn't a touchdown.
Yeah.
Break six tackles?
Big time.
It was just crazy. But there were some other awesome plays. Baker Mayfield, what he did there with Joey, with Nick Bosa, he was just riding him to the sideline. I'm like, why isn't he yanking him to him? Do you know the play I'm talking about? Where Baker Mayfield's running over to the sideline, and he's trying to throw the ball, but Bosa's trying to bring him down, and so he's stiff-arming Bosa, but it's for like... It's for a solid 5 seconds, and then Baker ends up completing the pass.
Oh, wow.
And it's like one of the coolest plays ever from Baker, but I don't understand why Bosa isn't pulling him into him and not allowing him to have the free arm, yanking him down or something. I don't know, but it was a great play. It was an awesome play by Baker, but one of the standout plays of the weekend, I would say. And then last night you had the head scratcher. There was multiple head scratchers. The Texans not going for it late in the game was pretty ridiculous. But at one point, C.J. Stroud's own offensive lineman took the ball from him. Okay. Just forcing a fumble on his own.
I did not see this. Did this happen in the first half?
Titus Howard. It was almost like he's being sacked. He's in the process of being sacked. Oh, and goodness. So it's almost like his offensive lineman wants to take the ball from him so that he can start advancing it. Like, oh, if I just take the ball from
like
CJ,
steal?
Yeah, I could just take the ball and go have a moment here. I can get a big man first down.
Give me that.
But he just forces a fumble there on his own player late in the game.
That might be worse than the butt fumble. You know, just overall, all things considered, not more comical, but worse.
Yeah,
but,
that was doing too much there by the line.
This was consciously trying to take the ball away from your quarterback.
Yeah,
thinking that you were going to help a situation that was already a disaster.
I mean, even if it was clean, he was not even getting back to the line of scrimmage, my man.
Right.
So I'm with
Let's just have some self-awareness, Titus Howard.
There
you just
it
gave
is.
Up the sack.
A sports hodgepodge here in the G-Bag Nation. Top 10 at 4:20 coming up next, Zachary.
Yeah, let's have some fun. It's National Ice Cream Sundae Day. All right, who doesn't love a good ice cream sundae? The most outrageous ice cream sundaes from across the U.S. What's the most outrageous sundae you've had?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is hurt in a car truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, contact the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214-817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's brought to you by Window Nation, and it's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
All right, we'll get to Ice Cream Sundays here in just a moment, as it is National Ice Cream Sunday Day. What is your ideal ice cream sundae? 877-881-1053. Some leftover NFL news. It does appear Caleb Williams is not going to be benched. I don't know why they would even bench Caleb Williams. If anything, fire your coach. But he's going to stay as the starter. They're not changing quarterbacks. So you don't have to worry about anything there. If you're a Bears fan, you're like, I don't want Caleb Williams to be
benched.
How about
block for him?
Yeah, I mean, a lot's going wrong with that offense. Yeah. I think it probably starts with, like, Eberflus probably needs to go. It seems like he's lost that locker room. But, yeah, they kept him after probably having fired, should have fired him last year. But he's still around.
Yeah, it's really, really bad right now. Yeah, he had a funny interaction we can get to in Football's Finest on the radio today. But yesterday's Bears offensive performance was the eighth worst by any team in a game this season. Their 11 possessions, it was 8 punts, 2 failed fourth down attempts, and 1 field goal. They've now gone 22 straight possessions without scoring a touchdown.
It's brutal. It really, really is.
Sound very similar to here.
About what it feels like.
Yeah, yeah, well, Pooper had a success rate of 21.1% at the half. That's the sixth worst by any starting quarterback in any game in the past 3 seasons.
Yeah, yeah, it was historically bad.
And there's been, like, Zach Wilson has started games. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Deshaun Watson.
They threw for, like,
Peterman.
2 yards. Yeah. Yeah.
In the end, it was the 7th worst statistical start in the last 3 years.
It's really, really bad.
Like Pooper
never,
yesterday?
Like, yeah. He'd never, wow, never, like, started a game in his life.
1,307.
I guess it was Kellen Moore with the coordinators for those days, right? When he was winning ball games?
Yeah. He was.
For Cooper Rush?
He was.
That's
true. He had the script. He had the book out on Kellen.
You can mark true in your Scantron for that one.
He told Dick Fangio all about it, and he couldn't handle it. Certainly couldn't. Now, the Saints got a big win yesterday. They were able to upset New Orleans.
My man, Rizzi.
Well, they are New Orleans. They upset Atlanta, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Darren Rizzi. This guy, honestly, couldn't tell you I knew a lot about him. Special teams coordinator. Ends up being the interim
Special
head coach.
Good player.
He was so he played in the league as well. Well, player, I mean, this dude's a football guy through and through. Now, before the game, he was talking with Catherine Terrell. He said he clogged the toilet in the head coach's locker room when he got to the stadium, and he thought, this is going to be a crappy day. It wasn't. Okay? It ended up being a great day. But that just goes to show you, I mean, my goodness, the nerves that were going through this man as he was getting ready to take the field for the first time as an interim head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. You know, the bubble guts, it's a situation that you got to clear out. Mm-hmm. He certainly did. Now, post-game, he had a very weird interaction where it looked like he was about to, like, seize up and fall over, and his player, Peyton Turner, was able to catch him. He's asked about what happened during the victory celebration because it appeared like he might be injured.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you exactly what happened. I yelled at Peyton Turner with 30 seconds left because he's celebrating before the game's over, so I screamed at him. And so he's spraying water, and I ripped his ass, quite frankly. So when the game was over, he wanted to get me back. So he came up to me, and I wasn't looking. He jacked me in the back, and I got a history of stingers. So my left arm went completely numb. Literally went completely numb. So I'm sure the video has me like this. I'm like, I'm looking at my thanks a lot, Peyton. So I'm fine. I got a little C5, C6 going for years from the old. Sound like the old guy, but and I am.
Yeah.
That's what happened. My whole, literally, my he gave me a stinger. I couldn't feel my arm, so my balance was screwed up. I'm fine. I never, all the other stingers I got in my life, at least I saw them coming. I was prepared for them. This one, if I'm going to get hurt, holy cow. So
when you grabbed onto him, that was you literally just trying not to fall.
I was grabbing him like, Payton, are you effing kidding me? Right? I'm like, I'm happy too, but holy cow. So anyway, yeah, all good. All good.
It did look like he was about to just fall on the ground.
Yeah. Those stingers are no joke.
Kind of a scary moment there.
Yeah.
Felt like the stinger went from his neck area down into his leg.
Yeah, just everything. Yeah, just, I mean, just crushes you.
But congratulations to him. I mean, an awesome moment and football guy of the day right there. I mean, fighting through it, clogging toilets before the game.
Good for him. I was thinking, I didn't know if that was maybe Dennis Allen leaving something special for him on the way out kind of thing.
You think Dennis might have left it?
Short-circuiting the toilet on purpose.
Dennis might have already, he might have clogged it before and
exactly. Like, he knew it was one flush away from this thing being over the top.
And
Rizzi
just said, oh no, Rizzi came in and at it.
He rigged the toilet.
Sent three paper towels down there.
Yeah.
He's done for.
Dennis Allen's one last bleep you to the organization as he gets fired last week.
All right, let's get happy here. I know a lot of the times, you know, when you're depressed, maybe you just find yourself buried in an entire gallon of ice cream. It's happened a couple of times in my household. That's well documented, Eric. We've talked about that many, many times.
Right.
Watching Cowboys football certainly puts you into one of those, food eating benders, and maybe ice cream's your vice. Well, it's National Ice Cream Sunday Day. Who doesn't love ice cream sundaes? Some of the stuff that's happening in our country.
No, I'll do it. Ice cream sundae, Brian. Don't be pointing at me.
Oh,
I see you looking at me.
He likes ice cream sundaes. Yeah. Now, okay, go ahead and tell
what
us the list of things
like,
you don't want on there.
What I don't like is the banana split, which is an affront to the idea of the ice cream sundae.
And that's probably your favorite, Brian, I would assume.
I just load them up.
Yeah.
Load them up. Dawson, I can't have the nuts on there.
No nuts, no caramel.
Can't have the cherry thing.
No hot fudge, no whipped cream.
If you're going to put any kind of frosting or anything on it, I'm out on that.
Those fake cherry things are great. You know I love frosting and icing and whipped cream. There's only a few things I don't like, Brian.
There's like, what makes it great, Dawson has given it to Heisman.
All right, let's see what you got.
Hot fudge, nuts, one of those fake cherries, and the whipped cream. That's the perfect sundae.
Then you're ready to rock.
No caramel, huh? It's a hot take.
I don't like the hot fudge with the caramel.
Okay.
So you're either
one or the other.
Okay. Right. And trust me, I had to think long and hard if I was going to go caramel or hot fudge, but
that was really that's where I'm kind of at the fork in the road right now. Which way do I go there?
You don't like both.
If I was picking one. Generally, I kind of do one at a time.
I'll say hot fudge is always the king for me.
Just put them both on there.
I mean,
everybody's cool with both. Fudge is different though. Some fudges are like 10 out of 10, the old school McDonald's fudge. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's really duplicated that specialty.
Wow. No.
But then they go away from it, and now all of a sudden, I wish they had a caramel opportunity there.
All right, Lucius, the ideal ice cream sundae.
I like it how it comes. You know,
Lucius.
Yeah, I like it exactly how it comes. But one thing. I want some Rocky Road ice cream instead of vanilla ice cream.
Okay.
Yep.
I was thinking, should I go cookies and cream?
Yeah. That would be your number one of choice?
I don't know. I'd have to try it, you know? Because
a lot of times, probably your basic, right? It's like vanilla or chocolate ice cream. Maybe you get some strawberry in there. But it is nice when you spice it up with a nice, special ice cream.
They can change the dynamics a little bit, you know, alter the flavor profile. You guys, you know, you're coming off that chili tasting a weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Still about that high, by the profile. Way. Yeah.
All right. Here are some of the most outrageous sundaes across the United States of America. We start with honorable mentions. The Mally's Colossal Ice Cream Sundae, which you can get in Michigan. It's $30.
Yeah.
It's a half a gallon of ice cream.
Right.
Included chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry, topped with Hershey's chocolate syrup, whipped cream, chocolate chip cookies, nuts, sprinkles, and cherries. It's a lot.
$30.
Massive. $30.
So this is like a group thing?
Obviously. You're sharing.
Sure.
How about $259.99? We go to Massachusetts.
So you just have like 12 different people just spooning, mouthing, back in spoon, mouth, back in spoon, mouth, back in spoon.
It's a family. It's a family deal. You got it. It's wife and kids thing.
You might have a big serving spoon and multiple little bowls, I think, if I was there. In a perfect world, for sure.
This is insane.
This is Michigan, though, you know?
That's true.
The Wolverines,
man.
Can
you bring me about seven bowls and seven spoons, please? And a big spoon to serve it out to everybody.
Because
I got to get around all the things I don't like on this thing. I mean,
the Great Pyramid in Massachusetts has more than 60 pints of hand-scooped ice cream, including scoops of coffee, Oreo, strawberry, cherry vanilla, and chocolate with 12 quarts of toppings. Choose from 40 toppings.
Okay.
It's packaged. The toppings are separate. Whipped cream, marshmallows, nuts, and cherries are already going to be on there. It can serve up to 175 people. I don't know why you would really order that.
It's $240?
It's $260.
Let's go.
All right, number 10, we go to the trough.
How close do you think
is that just a wedding? That's the only time you're ordering that?
For 175
people? 175
people? I mean, or maybe just
a Sunday
like
that night. Is a bargain to get 175 people ice cream for $260.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, this thing's massive. It would melt really quick, though, I think. The trough... $55. You go to Brooklyn. It's an entire malted pretzel, ooey gooey pie, gets piled with 8 scoops of ice cream, pieces of cookie dough, the munchies, which is a combination of a sweet and salty mix of pretzels, Ritz crackers, and M&Ms.
All right.
Hot fudge, salted butter caramel, whipped cream, chocolate and rainbow sprinkles, and a gummy cow, which I guess is the cherry on top. So that's $55.
Gummy
right
cow?
There. Yeah, it's a gummy cow.
Instead
it's
of a bear.
It's in the shape of a cow bowl.
So everybody's just trying to outsize the next guy.
All of these are just insane.
It's just, hey, how many different
this
people can we
like
feed
we,
at once?
This sounds like we can eat this.
This sounds pretty damn delicious.
The last one, we have no shot.
I think one person could eat this by themselves.
Yeah, we have no
I
shot.
I think you could put
8
this down
scoops
here.
Of ice cream,
yeah,
right?
I think you'd do this.
Yeah.
Number 9 is Hot Dish, Izzy's Ice Cream in St. Paul, Minnesota. 32 scoops of ice cream on a layer of crumbled cones.
I'm detecting something here.
It's like sprinkled with brownie bits, 7 toppings, and 3 sauces. The red hot dish and matching espresso cup are what comes with this. So they've got like an espresso cup of ice cream on the side. And then the rest of it's all in what looks like a giant red baking
pan.
3
different sauces.
It's $100.
That's a bold move to go with the trifecta there of different sauces. Is that chocolate, caramel, and strawberry? Is that the...
It looks... Or cherry.
I mean...
Yeah, it looks like cherry. It looks like it's some kind of red looking sauce. 8, this will be a solo one. It's the churro sundae. In New York City.
Oh, I bet that's fire. They mushing up churros inside of that thing?
They look like they're full churros that they're bending over and they're kind of like tucking on the sides. So 4 fresh churros,
you're
vanilla
getting
ice cream.
Very excited over there.
Chocolate sauce, sprinkles, toasted walnuts, whipped cream, and flaming sparklers. They're adding some flair to this bad boy.
Oh.
Watch out, Dodgers fans.
Yeah, this is a bottle service ice cream.
Somebody texted this in. The world's famous Farrell's Zoo. The Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor.
Yes.
They have locations in California and Hawaii. 3 fruit sherbet flavors, 4 toppings, whipped cream, bananas, cherries, fudge sprinkles, and playful pipe cleaner animals in paper Farrell's pennants.
Very tropical there, the sherbet.
$70.
Sounds
this
wonderful.
Yeah, it is, I guess. If you like, do you like sherbet?
I love rainbow sherbet, dude. I think it's just amazing.
Then you'd be all over this. They also do have what looks like bananas that are sticking out the side. So you probably
it's the closest fruit should get to dessert, by the way.
Banana?
The sherbet.
The sherbet. Okay.
That's where you draw the line.
Yep.
I do love me some sherbet.
Back to New York. This is $1,000 Guinness Book of World Records most expensive sundae known
to
mankind.
Poverty ice cream.
Oh, geez. Is there fireworks and stuff on it? Is there glow sticks on it and
There's
stuff, too?
There's 23 carat gold leaves, chunks of rare chow chocolate. Might have said that wrong. Exotic candied fruits from Paris, chocolate truffles, and a tiny bowl of... Grand Passion Caviar, sweetened with passion fruit, orange.
How much is this thing?
An Armagnac.
It's $1,000.
$1,000. Topped with a gilded sugar flour sprinkled with pure 24 karat gold edible dust. This is insane. I mean, why
is this in Vegas? Is this we're getting in Vegas?
New York City.
Oh, New York City.
Serendipity 3 Golden Opulence Sundae.
That's just
a flex.
How many of these things are they selling? They're not selling any of these.
Yeah, that's like a super specialty thing.
You're going to dinner somewhere else. All right, you buy dinner, I'll buy dessert. And then you go from one place to the other.
You're super rich trying to impress a date.
Yeah.
You know,
your buddies. You're on a business trip.
That's insane.
Must have different kind of buddies.
I mean, what about the tried and true sundae that has its lore because of just how delicious it is?
But this is just this is the most outrageous sundaes in the world.
Oh, okay. So it's specific to the outrage.
Don't act like when we go down to New Orleans, we're not going to try something crazy.
Just talking about like there's sparklers. There was a firework on one of these.
There was a firework.
Sundaes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, all these seem to be in New York and California. West Virginia is number 1, though. A 9-pound humongous banana split, Brian. It's $19.
Covered.
It's all you, brother.
Covered in moonshine.
That's insane. And there's your top 10.
There it is, Wolchuk. Thank you so much. College football super set coming next.
All right, let's do this. I've never heard an AD talk like this postgame in my life. Have you? And this Georgia player is getting roasted. That's next.
Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up at 5 o'clock, an edition of The Finest right here. It's a college football super segment. Take it away, Zachary.
Yeah, a lot going down this weekend in college football. Oregon staying undefeated. They beat Maryland at home. Ohio State taking care of business. So did Texas, whipping up on Florida. But Miami goes down 28-23. Georgia Tech at home, knocking off the Canes. Georgia Tech storming the field. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe this was also the team last year in Miami.
It's true.
That Mario Cristobal had the epic flub when it came to coaching malfunctions and just mismanagement.
Take a
and
knee.
What the hell are you doing that allowed Georgia Tech to beat Miami a year ago? And now they've upset their perfect season.
It's really, really bad. And Cristobal didn't have as big of a coaching malfunction in this one, but he did burn a timeout late that was unnecessary that cost them. They could have had three on that final drive. It wouldn't have mattered because Cam Ward ends up getting sacked or whatever. That dude is just crazy. He makes unbelievable plays, but he also runs himself into some crazy trouble. But that was inevitable. Miami's flirted with fire all season. They've tried to lose a bunch of these games, and they just haven't. And now back-to-back with Georgia Tech, that is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's that's a tough one. We also had Alabama. Dude,
what about the decapitation that took place?
Oh, my gosh, yes, that was crazy.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Carter,
a couple different times.
Carter, the Miami Hurricanes, I don't know if you have that one, but you could throw it on the fan cam here. It would brutal. Be warranted. I don't know if Broadus or Dawson saw it. I will DM it to you guys because it was a double penalty play. Running back gets face masked, and then right after his helmet almost gets ripped off, this dude comes in and blindside smashes him, and the helmet goes flying off the dude's head. It was unreal. I'm sending it to you now.
It was unbelievable. Alabama just absolutely destroyed LSU. I'm sorry,
it sure
Brian.
Did. LSU.
Jalen Milroe was unstoppable.
Yeah, he was. And Alabama very much deserved the win. Milroe running the football. LSU just, takes 2 weeks off. You know, Brian Kelly said it after the game. It's like, we have 2 weeks off and we go out there and play like we did. Like we've never practiced defending this type of an offense, but congratulations, Alabama. LSU gets eliminated from playoff contention. Alabama gets to keep pushing on, and there's some big games coming up where maybe they get back in this thing too because of Tennessee and Georgia playing. That's an elimination game right there in itself. So every week in the SEC, there seem to be these elimination games. And LSU was the first one to feel it this
week.
Well,
and Ole Miss was able to salvage what would have been an elimination for them as they beat Georgia at home 28-10. They're 8-2. Georgia's 7-2. But one of the Georgia players is caught celebrating with Ole Miss fans after the game. They're jumping up and down. His name's Jake Pope, and he is celebrating with the Ole Miss fans. As, the field's being stormed here, they ended up taking the goalposts and walking them all throughout town. And then Carson Beck, down 22-10, is shown on the sidelines, smiling and laughing with one of his teammates. And that's gone viral, and Georgia fans are not happy about this. I guess Jake Pope, the player who was celebrating, apologized after the fact on social media. He didn't expect the moment to become a distraction, and now it's turned into it. But, like, what are you doing, dude? Why are you jumping up and down? Your team just got upset on the road against Ole Miss. Why are you, like, smiling and hugging Ole Miss fans that are running onto the field in a Georgia uniform?
This is even more offensive than the Hurricanes player who took a Georgia Tech fan's phone while it was being recorded.
Oh, and chucked it?
And just, like, frisbeed it. In the video, it's still recording. You see the whole, you see it just frisbeeing through the air. Guy gets his phone back. Phone didn't break or anything.
Crazy.
But I'd rather my player do that than whatever this kid's doing.
Yes.
Jumping around, smiling with Ole Miss fans
just
after
a terrible
they just
look.
Lost?
Honestly.
Is this a transfer portal situation? Is this a we hate the coach, bad morale?
I think
this guy looks like a walk-on.
He's going to have to get the hell out of town.
He can't get any playing time?
Yeah, so he's probably not playing at all.
His it's jersey, amazing because
jersey was clean.
I think in the SEC, you're allowed only to travel like 60 or 65. So
he can't be terrible.
That's what I'm saying. Probably to make that trip to Oxford, he maybe a backup snapper or something like that. But yeah, that's kind of strange.
Kirby Smart, do you see what he said?
Kirby afterwards?
Like, he called him an idiot.
Yeah, well, he was.
Just stupid, to be honest with you. I don't really have time to waste on that. My focus is on Tennessee.
Yeah, that dude's not on the team anymore.
Can we circle back real quick in the ACC?
What about it?
SMU.
Yeah.
In a great spot right now,
They're right now in the front runner of the ACC. They got a big game against Boston College coming up.
Boston College, Virginia, and Cal still left on their schedule.
That loss opened it up for SMU. Now they'll probably, they'll be in the conference championship game. We'll see what happens there. Maybe that is still against Miami, but SMU's crushing it right now.
Yeah, and that game's played in Charlotte. I kind of wish it was closer.
That'd be cool if it was local.
Yeah, it would be nice.
But the big one was Utah and BYU. My
gosh. Holy War.
The ending of this was crazy, okay? And Mark Harlan just went off post-game. The Utah AD. If you missed it, you think that Utah's won the game. It's a game-clenching fourth-down sack for the Utes. There's a minute and a half to go. BYU's in the shadows of their own end zone, and then a holding call allows BYU to get an automatic first down, extend the drive. They end up kicking the game-winning field goal to win 22-21. Stunning. The hold that was called was very – I don't know. I mean, you can judge for yourself – I've seen that not be called plenty of times, especially in that situation. Yeah. Mark Harlan of Utah, the AD, did not hold back post game.
For 12 years, this game was absolutely stolen from us. We were excited about being in the Big 12, but tonight I am not. We won this game. Someone else stole it from us. Very disappointed. I will talk to the commissioner. This was not fair to our team. I'm disgusted by the professionalism of the officiating crew tonight. Thank you.
We talked about that with Miami. We talked about that with Miami. Remember the ACC maybe making some calls that kept their team in good spot? Here you are, BYU, Big 12. Got to keep our team, got to keep our team relevant.
I like that theory.
I'm just saying this, that this is looking like a bunch of SEC schools getting into this playoffs. And if you don't, if all of a sudden BYU and others get not, and then there's not an undefeated team like that that gets, they're going to pass over BYU, or if they lose a game.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. BYU able to stay undefeated. They were ranked ninth in the country. I think they're eighth now in the AP poll. We'll see what happens tomorrow with the second week of the college football playoff, top 12 being unveiled. A lot of texts coming in that Jake Pope, those were his friends that go to Ole Miss. Regardless, it doesn't matter. Like, you're in a Georgia uniform. I'm sure that a lot of players have friends at other schools. When that school's just beating you don't celebrate on the field with those guys.
Go get dressed and go meet them by the bus.
Yeah, it's like, just go give them a hug. Moment, not a public moment.
Give them a hug by the bus and get on the bus and go home.
Harlan got a $40,000 fine for criticizing those officials. But I think what he said there probably spoke volumes for a lot of Utah fans. They probably felt the same way. We'll wrap up here. We'll go back to my buddy. If you're not following him on TikTok, it's absolutely hilarious. Cook the Book Bets. He does this every week when it comes to the schedule makers. The script, they wrote it perfectly. Take it away.
It's upset weekend. I want to get greasy.
What do we think about Georgia Ole Miss, sir? Georgia is the favorite.
Ass whipping.
Sir, it's Kirby Smart versus Lane Kiffin.
Ass whip
it. Okay, yes, sir, you got it. Now, sir, we've got an opportunity here with Miami, Georgia Tech. Miami, absolute blunder last year, worst play in college football history. Do they get revenge this year?
I want Tech to win. Not only do I want him to win, I want him to do it with Haynes King.
Sir, his arm doesn't work. He can't throw.
Doesn't have to. Have him run it right down throats.
God, that's why they pay you the big bucks. Nice job, sir.
Now listen, sir, we got LSU, Bama, but it's at LSU, 7:30 game, night game, Brian Kelly, 13-0 in night games at home. Come on, let's make it a good one.
Mm-mm.
Sir, why are you smirking like that?
Belt to ass.
You're smirking because you mean LSU because they're at home at night, right? Belt to ass. 42-13. Sir, nobody's going to believe
we're shaking things up, mother.
God, you're so good. I'm on it, sir. I have an idea on Oklahoma, Missouri, sir. First of all, I don't know who the hell invited you up here. Second of all, can't wait to hear this. So hear me out, sir. Worst game of all time. 6-3 at the half. But then, in the last 3 minutes of the game, Oklahoma score. Oklahoma scoop and score. Missouri score. Missouri scoop and score. At home to win the game. I like this guy. Get on it, boys.
Yes.
Amazing work. And that OU-Mizzou game was crazy. Former Allen Eagle transfer from OU, Theo East Jr., ultimately catching the game winner there for Mizzou. Pretty incredible weekend of college football. Unfortunately, didn't go well for our North Texas Mean Green, who did fall to Army, and the offense was disgusting.
They held him in check, though.
They did. I mean, it was stunning to see the offense did not hold up their side of things. It was like the Cowboys yesterday. Defense played well enough to win.
14-3 final there?
Yeah, offense was just awful. So, Gomen Green, I still love you, but that was upsetting.
Thank you, Wolchuk. We'll give you what Micah Parsons said last night and what the reaction has been so far throughout the day. We are anticipating he's going to update his thoughts. And maybe
he just spoke about it on his podcast.
The Edge podcast.
Yeah. He's tearing it up for those guys.
We have a big football 5 o'clock hour coming up next. Chief, where do we start?
What's your headline from yesterday's latest Cowboy disaster? Plus more takeaways from a football Sunday. That's next to the Nation.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.